two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back in. Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. It's Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. Hope you're having a fantastic Saturday afternoon. It's BYU basketball game day. It's NFL playoffs taking place. It's the divisional round. Got a lot going on this jam-packed Saturday afternoon. And we always talk BYU football here on the program, even in the offseason, every Saturday. If you're a first-time listener to this program, we talk BYU football every single Saturday, even if it's the dog days of winter like it is right now, we're talking BYU football. And you can tweet at us at KSL Sports and also the KSL text line, UCCU KSL text line at 57500. The coaching vacancies, they're still there on Kalani Sitake's coaching staff, Matt. They got the offensive line spot open and then a 10th assistant spot wherever direction Kalani decides to go, whether it be offense, whether it be defense, a lot of options there. What are you hoping to see from this coaching search for these positional coaches to round out the staff?
Oh, man. Great question. I think last year it was unbalanced, right? There was 6-4 offensive. I would like to see an additional guy brought on to the defensive side to even it out 5-5. And I think the back half, I really like what's happening there. And you can go one of two ways. Do you take Ed Lamb out of the linebacker room and just bring in a dedicated linebackers coach and let him be the assistant coach and special teams guy? Because special teams, that it's not like that's not a significant amount of work. I mean, you got to work on many different units, so you could make a case that would make a lot of sense. And I think it would be a good move. However, I think what I'd like to see is just let's remove Elisa Tuiaki from the defensive line. Let him be solely the defensive coordinator. He works on schemes, visits different rooms from time to time, and you just bring in a guy. And last week, I think both of us really liked the possibilities of bringing on a Jan Jorgensen, who was on the staff as a graduate assistant for quite some time. And so that would make a lot of sense, and I would like to see that happen. Offensive line coach, I think – you could go a couple different ways, and there's some interesting options out there, but the one that I think I would really enjoy bringing back is Ryan Pugh. He's a guy who's worked with some of the guys on the offensive line group before. He was hired at Baylor and then let go the next day. I just think I would love to see him brought back, because he's a dude who he was here for 1 year and then got an offensive coordinator job. So now that he's got a little more experience calling plays, maybe that could help fill the void of Jeff Grimes in terms of a play calling situation. So a lot of different directions they can go, but that's, I think, where I would lean right now is if Ryan Pugh is interested, bring him back and then get a defensive line coach and let Elisa Tuiaki just be a coordinator.
Yeah, I think with the offensive line, I feel like Aaron Roderick will probably be given the autonomy to make the decision on that, because we know they got to get an offensive line coach. It's imperative. It's the foundation of this BYU football program, and I think they're going to take their time. I think that, you know, whenever there's a coaching position open in any local program here in the state of Utah, it always seems like, you know, we always bring out the usual suspects of, oh, this person coached here at Utah State, so naturally maybe he's going to be a candidate at BYU or Weber State or Utah. It's just kind of like this circle of just in the Beehive State. I think BYU will cast a wide net with this offensive line position search because I think that it's critical. And BYU's been fortunate to where two of the last three offensive line coaches that they've hired were unemployed when at the time they hired them. And they still worked out to be pretty well in Mike Empey and Eric Mateos. This one, though, without Jeff Grimes now in the program, who was a brilliant offensive line mind, one of the best in college football, and one of the reasons why he became an offensive coordinator at BYU, you got to get this one right because that position has seen so much growth, and you do not want to take any sort of step back. Because I think you look back at you know the tail end of the Bronco Mendenhall era, I feel like, you know, that was one of the knocks on the program was that the offensive line was not up to snuff. I mean, if you had a great offensive line to protect Taysom Hill in 2013, even with that difficult schedule, I think that could have been an 11-win football team and maybe, you know, crashing the BCS back then. I mean, they didn't have good offensive lines then. And it's been a slow but sure process, and there's a lot of depth. And whoever gets that position – they're going to be looking at a room where it's like, this guy's 6'7", 310. This guy's 6'8", 305. Like, they're big, humongous men that they're going to inherit a position room. So I got to think there's some young, up-and-coming coaches that maybe have some recruiting connections and some they're master technicians that could come in and not skip a beat on that offensive line room. So I think that's going to be something that's going to take time. I don't think it's anything in short order because right now is unique. You know, there's no recruiting going on in terms of in-person. Usually this time of the year, we're seeing a lot of official visits taking place. That's not happening due to the pandemic. It's a dead period. So these coaches are doing a lot of self-evaluation, kind of doing sizing up what took place last year, but also getting winter conditioning together. Has that got going this week? So they're going to take their time, I think, with this coaching search on the offensive line. Now, the 10th assistant, I think personally, I'd like to see another offensive coach.
6-4, because, you want it unbalanced again. Okay.
I do. I think that, you know, because the defense, I mean, we're talking about a defense that was, what, top 10 in scoring defense? Only, I mean, in Elisa Tuiaki's defenses the last 5 years, it's kind of crazy, Matt. Elisa Tuiaki gets a lot of grief from BYU fans and people sometimes because of the what seems like a conservative approach of dropping back eight. But you look at the numbers of what BYU has done statistically, he's fielding top 25 total defensive teams. Three of the first 5 years he's been the defensive coordinator, and all of them have been in like the top 55. So it's not like he's fielding bad defenses. He's done a nice job. And I don't know if the criticisms are fair anymore to give to Elisa Tuiaki. I mean, what they did this year was pretty impressive. So I think you just keep the defensive unit intact. You still got Kalani Sitake, who can help out as that fifth guy on the defensive side because we know he can be involved in that side of things. I think you go with another offensive coach, maybe you know, promote a tight ends coach that can then allow Steve Clark to aid Aaron Roderick and Fessy Satake in creating this offense and truly continue to have that collaborative effort and let Steve Clark kind of rotate. If he needs to be in the tight end room, if he needs to be in the offensive line room, if he needs to be in the quarterback room, wherever he's needed the most, he can go in because he's got offensive coordinator experience. That, to me, focus on the offensive side, I think everything else will fall in line.
I hate that idea, Mitch. I hate it.
Why would you hate that, Matt?
Steve Clark has done a phenomenal job. I do not want him removed from the tight end position. I think that he's done outstanding. There's only one thing that interests me if you're adding another offensive coach, and that's already been ruled out. And that's a dedicated quarterback coach. That's the only thing that makes sense. And that's the one position that needs, I think, a dedicated coach the most is the quarterback room.
Steve Clark can help out. He can help out with that quarterback room if needed. He's someone that's, to me, his resume would warrants more than just simply a tight end position coach, and maybe, you know, he's someone that I think it warrants, you know, getting feelers from other programs if you want to give him more involvement or more prestige. Maybe you elevate him in some capacity as some
to what?
Unique title. I mean,
how many more titles can you come up with?
Hey, there's coaching staffs in college football that have, quote, chief of staffs now. I mean, you can create any title you want.
VP of offensive direction.
Just do whatever, create whatever title that can give him a pay raise and make him happy at BYU. So I think that, to me, is the direction you go, because Kalani Sitake can help a lot on the defensive side. He already helps a little bit with the linebackers. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is there's a guy on the staff, and we talked about him last week a little bit, but Kevin Clune, who was a volunteer, it was kind of a strange situation, came around like mid-season, I believe, and he was part of the program. Like, he was in at the Boca Raton Bowl down on the sideline. I see him down there in Florida, and he's got a headset on. He's a former defensive coordinator for a little bit with Memphis, also a defensive coordinator at Oregon State. He was volunteering basically at BYU this past year. He could be someone that steps in on the defensive side if you want to go and make things even on the staff, or he's got background experience on the offensive side as a tight ends coach as well. So he could do a lot of different things too if you want to just promote from within and make him the 10th assistant coach. So I think it's going to take some time. I think they're going to just do their due diligence, because there's no need to rush right now. I think you can just take your time, make sure to hit this thing out of the park and get it all in place before spring football hits, which will probably be around, I would imagine, no official word yet, but usually it's been like the first Monday in March is what they've typically been doing with spring football. So get it nailed down by then, and then all systems go for the 2021 season.
Because wasn't it last year where we still didn't know what was going on with the vacancy at the running back coach?
That is true, because
I don't want that to happen again.
That also happened 2 years ago, I think, too, with the offensive line coach. I want to say Mateos was not in place. I can't remember. I'm getting it mixed up. But I think that, sometimes at BYU can take a while. I think that's why it was so unique to see, you know, Jeff Grimes exits. Okay, fine. That's okay. Aaron Roderick just hours later promoted. It was like, oh, that's refreshing to see, because Aaron Roderick was someone I think was going to get some feelers from a lot of programs. And it was good that BYU just got it done and taken care of to make sure that he is the leader of BYU's offense. I think he'll do a nice job going forward.
All right, we got to take a break. News, traffic, and weather up next, then we'll continue talking more BYU football after this.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.